is the great separator. It separates us from our Creator, the Almighty God, and sin separates us from one another. But with that, we pointed out last week that Christ is the great reconciler and restorer of pure fellowship. The Bible speaks a lot about fellowship. That is fellowship with one another and fellowship with God. And a passage that I don't think it will come up in this morning's lesson, but it's a passage most of us, at least many of us, know. It's where the Bible ties, watch here, the Bible ties fellowshipping with one another to fellowshipping with God. That is, if we are going to have fellowship with God, we must learn to have fellowship with one another. That's very important, because a lot of time we miss it. We pointed out that in true willing congregational or assembly worship, there is a multi-sprung fellowship. The fellowship is in two directions. That is, in true congregational assembly worship as we have now. This is a congregational worship. This is a worship where Christian assembly, we come together. The Bible teaches that there is a multi-sprung fellowship. That is a fellowship that extends not only with one another. But listen to the passage in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 20. Let us hear it. Matthew 18, 20.
For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them.
Watch here now. The Bible didn't say where you or I is in our separate home having our private devotion. Watch here. Christ is there too. So don't get me wrong. Christ is there when we engage in our private devotion at home. But here Jesus Christ, for some reason or the other, said we are how many? Two or three, huh? We are the brothers. They are arguing. They are missing a point to one another. Keep your attention this side. That's right. Yes. The passage. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20.
For where two or three.
Where two or three.
Are gathered. Together in my name.
In my name.
There am I.
Christ promised that he would be there. Now that's fellowship, you know. When we are gathered together as we are now, we are fellowshipping. We are together and we participate jointly in the different acts of worship to the Almighty God. That's what is going on now. That is for all of us who are involved in the worshiping of God. Because there might be persons within the audience who their body is here, but their mind is on the other side of town. In that case, you would not be worshiping God. But when you engage insofar as you can, in the activities that are going on. And both your mind and your body is a part of it. Jesus Christ promised that he would be here. So we are fellowshipping in that case, not only with one another, we are fellowshipping with Jesus Christ. We are two or three. That's a wonderful promise. I can speak with confidence that Jesus Christ, in a special way, is here with us now. Why can I speak with confidence? Because Jesus Christ promised that. And he never goes back on his promise. He never lies. So when few of us come out to worship God, I can come out with the confidence that I will be in the company of Christ in a special way. Are we all here? In fact, while we are on that, let us run to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. From verse 21.
And having
the passage. Watch here now. Is teaching us, God's people, about fellowshipping, mutual consideration, and worship. The passage, we will be looking on these four or five verses, but we will must just be scanning over this, because I'm not sure if we'll cover all there is to be said on these verses today. So let us hear the passage, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 21.
And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed
with pure water. Read on, read on.
Let us hold fast.
Let us hold fast.
The profession of our faith.
Whatever you profess, hold fast to it. That is religiously. Read on.
Without wavering.
Without wavering.
For he is faithful that promised.
You can take God at his word. That's what that means. He is faithful who promised. We just dealt with that in Matthew, where Jesus Christ made a promise that where two or three are gathered in his name. And there is hardly any doubt that Jesus Christ was contemplating worship when he spoke there. Jesus Christ said he will be there. How can we casually, regularly forsake worship? With a promise like that, how can we? You know, I find it striking, because I wouldn't mind if I were geographically be probably on the continent of Europe, and even more in England, where I could probably go and do some viewing, be it of the Queen's body or whatever. But when the newspaper tell how many hours some people wait, I'm not sure I could do that. Just her body. And the thousands, the hundreds of thousands of people that line the street. Shouldn't humanity crave the company of Jesus Christ more? When Christ promised that wherever two or three are gathered in his name, when I or you know that we are coming out to worship, to praise God, to exalt God's name through Christ, and I just brush that one side for some other things, as the Bible says, consider your ways. Wait, brother, continue reading. Pick up where you start. We were in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. You're somewhere about verse 23, 24.
And let us consider.
Let us consider.
One another.
One another.
To provoke unto love.
To provoke unto love.
And to good works.
And to good works.
Not forsaking the assembly.
Not forsaking
the assembling of ourselves.
Everybody understand that? In fact, I'll be going over these. Not forsaking the assembling of yourself. It can also be not forsaking the assembly. We are the assembly. We assembled the assembly assembled for worship. But we are the assembly. We must not forsake the assembly. Wait. Brother Mitchell, can I drop in virtual there? No. That has no place there. That's right. You would be adding to God's word. You would be putting something in the passage that the Almighty God did not apply in his vocabulary in telling about worship. Not forsaking the assembly. Wait. Not forsaking the assembly means don't stay away from the church gathering when you know that the church meets. And it has nothing to do with virtual. It has to do with actual gathering. That's right. You see, in addition to the coronavirus killing so many hundreds of thousands of people, it has done some wrong to Christianity. But I don't blame the coronavirus. I blame Christians who are looking for a shortcut to heaven. That's right. We have to think. If we want to go to heaven, God's way or our way. Wait. You know we are going to be saved God's way or not saved at all. That's a fact. Wait. I repeat it. Humanity, we are going to be saved God's way or we will not be saved at all. Could we go back over that passage? The text that has just been read, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 21 through verse 25, it is teaching us God's people, about fellowship, mutual consideration, that as Christian, we cannot be selfish and call ourselves Christian. In fact, being a selfish person where you think only of yourself, what you want, what you like, and being a Christian, those are incompatible. You cannot be a true child of God and be a selfish person. And if you have the honesty to recognize that you are selfish, start working on it. Pray to God about it. Because the passage is teaching that we must have mutual consideration. That is a consideration that works both ways. The passage that has just been read is about that. And the passage is about worship. You notice in the passage, there are three let us. Now look here, notice verse 21 and 22.
And having a high priest over the house of God.
Yes, what the brother is reading now is about the church and Jesus Christ. The church is Christ's body. The church is Christ's bride. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Christ has but one true church. He's the founder of one. Satan may cause hundreds of churches to be established, but Jesus Christ established one true church. And the passage, verse 21 and 22, is talking about Jesus Christ and his church. Verse 21 and 22 again.
And having a high priest over the house of God.
That's the church.
Let us draw near.
Wait, you don't believe me? Just hold that breath and turn to chapter 3 and verse 6. And having an high priest over the house of God. What is the house of God? I have just told you that the house of God is the church of Christ. Let us hear it.
But Christ as a son over his own house.
You can't get it plainer than that. So if you thought I was the one who make up when I told you that when the Bible speaks of his own house, Christ's own house, it's not talking about a physical construction there. It's talking about the body of Christ, the church of Christ. Christ as a son over his own house, and what that house is? 3:6 again, quick.
But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we?
You notice too? That Christ's house is not the building. That's right. The writer of the book of Hebrews, who was a Christian, said, we are Christ's house. You know, among the things that he does with this house, he lives in this house. Brother Mitchell, you mean he lives in each one of us? Yes. Well, let's move on. Get back to verse 21 and 22 of chapter 10.
And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith.
May I? So these two verses, 21 and 22, speaking about Jesus Christ and his church, but in these verses we see a call to worship. Didn't I find something, dear brothers, that says, let us draw
near?
Is something like that there? Let us draw near. Brother Mitchell, how do you know that that is talking about worship? Because we are told in the book of Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 3 that when Nadab and Abihu set out to worship God, but worship God contrary to God's regulation, and God killed them. When Moses was commenting, he said that God will be sanctified, that is set apart as special, by them who come nigh him, near to him. In worship, we come close to God. Because in worship, we are reverencing God. In worship, we are honoring God. In worship, we are paying homage to the Almighty God. In worship, we are exalting God. In worship, we are giving God thanks. It is a special moment for us and God. Worship has always been. So the passage is calling us to worship. Let us draw
near.
Near. The worship is also telling us how to prepare for worship. Are we all there? Are we all there? Let us hear verse 23.
Let us hold fast.
Let us hold tightly. That's what the word fast means.
The profession of our faith.
Of our faith.
Without wavering.
Mm-hmm.
For he is faithful.
But let me hear verse 22 again. There's a point at that.
Let us draw near.
Yes. That's the verse. When I spoke just now, that the verse 21 and 22, but particular verse 22. Verse 22, in addition, watch here now. You watching? In addition to calling us to worship God, it is telling us how to prepare for worship. Huh? Look here. Verse 22.
Let us draw near.
Uh-huh.
With a true heart.
It called for true heart. That is sincerity. You can't worship God being insincere.
In full assurance of faith.
We must have full assurance of faith. We must come to God with confidence. You cannot engage in worship and wonder a lot of negative things. Is there a God? No. Settle that before you come to Him. That's right. Will God fulfill His promise to me? I recognize that I'm a sinner. If I do what God says, how do I know He's going to forgive me? Just take His word. When you come to God, full assurance of faith, which means when you come to God and come to worship, you come with confidence. Read on.
Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience.
Yes, we must come with a conscience that is free. You know what gives you free conscience? When you know you are following God's word. That's right. Read on.
And our bodies washed with pure water.
And our bodies? you watch here. Wash bodies. Brother Mitchell, they can't I come to church and don't bathe? Yes, you can come to church without getting a bath if you want. It's better if you take a bath. But you see, this is not about taking a bath. This is talk about baptism. And what this is telling us, you must be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ before you can engage in true worship. That's right. Our bodies washed with pure water. That phrase is referring to baptism. And it is telling us, you see, this is preparation for worship. True heart. Sincerity, full assurance of faith, a free conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. That's how you prepare for worship. Are you there wondering, Mr. Mitchell, I have not been baptized. Are you telling me I can't worship? I'm not telling you anything. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And what you know, the Bible teaches us all over that to approach the Almighty God, you must be cleansed of your sin. The Bible tells us that the way you are cleansed this side of the cross of Jesus Christ is through baptism. Watch here. And I'm quoting to you from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22, verse 16. Why wait? There's something like that in the Bible. Am I not right? And I think it is Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Why wait? Why tarry? Get up! That is, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sin. So it is in baptism that God is dealing with our sin. And this is why, if you are going to worship God, you must get your sin cleansed. And that cleansing in Christ is done at baptism. That's right. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Acts 22, 16. Let us hear verse 23 now, brother.
Let us hold fast the profession of our faith.
May I? We must not waver. We must not be in doubt. We must not be uncertain. We must not lack confidence when we come to God, when we come to worship. May I? Even when we come burdened down. Truly, as I've stated here last week or the previous week, that there are many moods that we may come to worship with. We may come to worship with tears in our eyes because we are dealing with a problem. We may come to worship with broken heart because of some challenge, dear. It might be challenge with our health or whatever. In fact, those are the time we need to come to worship. When we are dealing with challenges. And a lot of times we even leave worship with those broken hearts. Not because God didn't bless you. But because of the humanness in us. But you must always come with conviction. The Bible says hold fast, and as I've said, the modern word for holding fast is hold tightly to what we profess as Christian. Verse 24.
And let us consider one another to provoke unto love.
What did I say when I started these verses? I spoke about mutual consideration. Here you have it. We must be considered brothers and sisters. There are some, I was about to say, there are some little things that are going to hinder us, but they are not little things. They are not little things. You cannot be a Christian in isolation. That's contradictory. We must be considerate of one another. We cannot come to church and brush off our clothes and go on about our business and we don't think about the church. We don't think. Sometimes you share word with a Christian who is having some problem. Do you just forget that person because you leave the compound of the church building? Or do you take that person home with a plan to pray for the person, with a plan to make a call to the person during week? or to visit the person if it's convenient for both of you. There must be mutual consideration. May I? Are you mindful of the negative effect that your absence from worship has on fellow Christian? Are you considerate and mindful of that? And are you mindful that God watches the wrong and the bad example you set for other Christians? Wait, I'm talking about mutual consideration. Our attitude, our disposition, and whatever else affect others, and you might not even be aware of it. But do you know who is aware of it? Big Master above. You're at verse 24 rather.
And let us consider.
Let us consider one another.
To provoke unto love.
Wait. The word provoke here. You see, we have the modern way we use the word provoke. And we use it largely in a negative way. I come to you and I said, Brother Myrie, provoke me. He didn't do anything good to me. In fact, he did something wrong. That's the idea you would get. But that's not the way it's used here. The word provoke here means to encourage, to push on, spur on, to love and good work. That's what it means. So we should provoke one another. That is, encourage one another. So that, encourage them to do what is good, what is positive for the church. Are we all there? That is what I meant when I talk about mutual consideration. It is essential in being a Christian and in engaging in true worship. To love and to good works. That is, verse 24 is teaching us to be mindful. Be considerate of the wants, of the wants of others, the temptation of others, the weakness or weaknesses of others, the trial that you might be aware of that others are going through, the success that your fellow one or two or three of your fellow Christian experience and you are rejoicing with them, the failure that a fellow brother or sister just told you about. You feel with that brother or sister because of the failure in whatever area. The challenges and the various experiences of each other. This we must do. Provoke one another to love and to good works. Wait. All of this help to make worship a better experience for us. Look now at verse 25.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together.
Wait. Most of what is said from verse 21 through 24 were things that we are to do. But here is something it tells you, not do this. Let us hear it again.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together.
Wait, look at the word assembling of yourself together. Brother Mitchell, was this talk about remote assembly? No. Don't ever drop that word in any statement, phrase, or whatever the Bible says. Because that is not a part of the vocabulary of inspiration. That's right. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. This business about, and I'm not going to probably go in detail because there are some other passage that will not come up in today's lesson. But when you come together in one place, that's right. That's right. Yes. Not forsaking the assembling. That is the coming together of yourself. Don't stay away from church gathering. Wait. Now, you may have a thousand reasons why you are justified in staying away from the different worship services. You know what you need to make sure? That your reason for staying away is acceptable to the Almighty God. You have to make sure of that. Because after verse 25, he made a statement in verse 26. We may not get to that today either. Yes, not forsaking the assembling of yourself together.
As the manner of some is.
What?
As the manner of some is.
Do you notice that inspiration takes into consideration the bad example of others? Hear the Bible. Is telling us not to follow the bad example of other Christians. You know what this tells me? That Jesus Christ is taking account of the bad example of other Christians as it relates to church attendance. Brother Mitchell, I don't see. Well, see now. The brother going to read it again for me. See now.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is.
What is telling us that there were some Christians who were staying away from worship. Inspiration is encouraging us never to take the example of those weak, backsliding Christians, because it's not good. The passage is warning us against the neglect of congregational religious worship. What is stated in verse 23 and 24 will not be realized if we keep away from one another. Brother Mitchell, state that again. If we forsake the assembling of ourselves together, if we stay away from worship services, if we stay away from the assembly, look at verse 23 and 24. Quick, brother, read it for me.
Let us hold fast the profession of our faith.
You see, strengthening our conviction in respect to what we believe is enhanced by worshiping regularly, not for say, hold fast the profession of our faith. That is, hold tightly to what you believe. It's when we assemble together, it helps us to understand better what New Testament Christianity is, and that we must hold tightly to it. Read on.
Without wavering. For he is faithful that promised.
Read on.
And let us consider one another to provoke unto love.
It is in worshiping that some of this is brought out. Provoking, encouraging one another to love and to good works. Read on.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is.
So, what is stated in verse 23 and 24 will not be realized if we keep away from one another. Worship is important. I'm going to stop here. And let me just briefly, as we wrap up, touch on a point that I will go in a little deeper next week. And that is the point that man needs worship. I repeat, man, I don't say man need to worship, while that is a part of the statement I've just made. I have just stated, man needs worship. Brother Mitchell, what do you need? Man needs to eat. Are we all there? The way the great almighty God constitutes our bodies to survive healthily, we need to eat. I have some news for you. I'll be in more detail. The body, our physical body, need physical or what we may call athletic activities. Every one of us, we need physical activities to make our limbs function healthily. That's our body. I'll be saying more next week. Watch here now. Not only our physical body, our intellect, our mind, need to be absorbing information, gaining knowledge, and discriminating between what is false. We need to, in one form or the other, and you do that every day. You listen to things, and some of it you reject as falsehood. And you learn things you might not be in school or college or university classroom, but you learn things every day. That's the way God made us. If you do not learn things every day, the mind, the intellect become dull and almost useless. If our body do not engage in physical, athletic activity, our very limb become weak. Well, there is another part to us other than our intellect and other than our physical body. There is also a spiritual part to us. And you know what? In the same way the Almighty God made it, that the physical body needs physical activity to keep it functioning. The mind need to be absorbing knowledge and sifting between and all that to make it function. At the same way that God made worship to keep the spiritual man alive. You don't want to miss this part of the lesson for next week. Very important. So don't treat May I? When the Bible speaks about that, we are the offspring of God. Worship is one of the things keep us connected with our origin. We come from God. Worship keep us in touch with where we come from. And the great Almighty God made it like that. That we need to worship Him to keep connected. So don't treat worship lightly. When we get to this, we are going to show how this devotional nature, religious nature, spiritual nature that God placed in us as part of our nature, how it has been misdirected. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? You ever hear about idolatry? The worship of idol? It's because man have to find a way to worship. When he doesn't know the true God, he makes his own God and worship it. With a lot of terrible consequences. What did I say? Man needs worship. It's part of our DNA. It's part of our nature. We need a superior being that we can look to, depend on, and pay homage to. That is in us. We look more detail when we come back next week, God's willing, and I'm hoping with God's help that will be the final lesson in the series. There's so much to look on. When we come back next week, we'll be visiting Mars Hill. Why were there so many gods at Mars Hill? Man's religious nature make man search for a God. But the true God is never far away. So be here next week as we look and the fact that man needs worship. It keeps us connected to our origin, where we come from. We are the offspring of God. But if you are here today, if you have listened to this lesson, if you have never become a Christian the Bible's way, wait. We're not talking about joining a church. We talk about becoming a Christian Jesus' way. Where you hear his truth according to the gospel, you believe it, you accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God, your Lord and Savior. As a result of that belief, you decide to repent. That is, turn from sin to righteousness. Turn from self to Jesus Christ. Turn from the ungodly ways of the world to the righteous ways of Christ. When you repent, you're also willing to confess Christ's name as Lord, as Savior, as God's Son. And then you're willing to submit yourself to be baptized for the removal of your sin. If you have never become a Christian the Bible's way, you can become a Christian today. Remember, it is in baptism that the Almighty God cleanses you through the blood of Jesus Christ from all past sin. We are here to help you today, and Jesus Christ is ready to welcome you as a part of his family. Remember, we were showing that to worship God acceptably, the body must be washed with pure water. But it is really the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. You can come today to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and to give him your life. You can step forward today. We are here to help you. And Jesus Christ is ready to welcome you as we stand.